Father, we thank you. Thank you, our Savior, that you move mountains. You destroy walls and you set at liberty those that are bruised. Hallelujah. We bless you this morning for your grace, for your power, for your love, for who you are and what you are, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray for some of you. The guilt of things that may be something you did yesterday in the past. But the regret that you did such a thing stops you. And the enemy's voice is very loud to remind you. Fact is, it happened. You can't undo it. But you can put it under the blood and let Jesus Christ touch your heart and bring liberty into your soul once again. Let not the regret and the guilt stop you from moving forward. If that's you, come and we'll just pray for you before we carry on with the service. Hallelujah. The voice of the accuser can be quite loud and he can stop you in your tracks from moving forward in the things of God. God has a plan for your life to do you good and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. Don't let regret stop you from doing that. I need some prayers to come and pray for them. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that is alive. And we thank you, Lord, for the liberty that we can find in the power of your grace, in the power of your Spirit, in the truth of your Word. We bless you this morning. You're a good God to us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Well, you can stand up and say hello to somebody. If you see a stranger, give them a hug and welcome them to church. Morning. You're right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The children may go. Hallelujah. Those ladies that normally look after the welcome room, why don't we reactivate that? Right. It hasn't been going for a few weeks. But if that can happen, that would be great. Hallelujah. If you're visiting with us this morning, we welcome you in the name of the Lord and pray that God will bless you as you fellowship with us. We were talking on missions, but I thought I'd change tack this morning before we talk on worship. So we're going to talk on worship, but we're just doing something different this morning. Are you all right? Yeah. We have a service tonight. Yeah. Hallelujah. Very enthusiastic. We're going to have a service with a difference tonight. So we come and Just get ready to get blessed. And God did something in your heart, in your life last week, last Sunday during the week. It'll be nice to just have a time of testimony tonight and see the goodness of God displayed. Amen. I want to talk to you in seasons this morning. And we'll start with Psalm 25. Verse 4 and the first part of verse 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Show, revelation, teach, instruction, lead, direction. You have revelation, you have instruction, and you have direction. Revelation is the revelation of God's ways. Instruction is the instruction of God's paths. And direction is direction into God's truth. Are you okay? I'm just going to speak on the first line. Show me your ways, O Lord. Show me. And we want to speak on the ways of God. The Bible says in Psalm 103, it says, God revealed His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. He reveals His ways to Moses, but His acts He revealed to the children of Israel. There is a difference between God's way and God's act. When God acts, the Red Sea is open. When God acts, the heavens are open. Manna falls. When God acts, water comes out of the rock. But the act of God is not the way of God. And the Bible says, Moses knew his ways, but the rest knew his acts. Now, you don't have to be saved to know that God can act. God can act, and when God acts, everybody saved and unsaved can see the act. When a miracle happens, God strengthens or makes somebody to walk or raises the dead, that's an act. And when God acts, everybody knows. When God raised Lazarus from the dead, everybody knew. Are you okay? But there's a difference between God's acts and God's ways. And David's prayer, his prayer was this: show me not your act, but show me your way. Now, many of us pursue the act. Many of us pursue the miracle. There is nothing wrong with that, but you need to know the way of God. You need to know why God sometimes heals the Muslim better than He heals a Christian. Why does He do that? I've got a friend in Sydney, and he said he's frustrated because he gets Muslim come to church, and some of them are so sick, and he'll pray for them, and God, almost 100% of the time, heal them miraculously on the spot. He prays for the Christian, and hardly any Christian gets healed. And you ask yourself, what's wrong? Well, you need to know the ways of God. The grace where the unsaved rides is a wave that the Christian can't ride. I'll say that again. The grace that the non-Christian, the unsaved, the Muslim surfs on is not the wave that the Christian surfs on. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Have I got your attention? Good. And David said, show me your way. And if Moses knew the ways of God and 3 million just saw the acts, I want to ask you a question. Who performed the miracle? The man that knew the ways. The man that knew his ways performed his acts. Are you okay? Now, God don't act without you. A lot of people say, well, God, no. They shall lay hands on the sick. Who lays hands? We do. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall get sicker. Now the sick shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. Who speaks? We do. You can't wait for God to speak in tongues. God does not speak in tongues. We do. They shall speak with new tongues. Who speaks? I tell people when I pray for them for the baptism, I said, talk.
And then waiting for God to... I said, does God eat your food? God doesn't come and make your mouth... You speak. The Bible says, those that believe shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. And the way that God heals, the power and the grace that God uses to heal the non-Christian, is not the same grace you've got. Why? Because you should know better. When a young kid, a five-year-old, breaks a vase, you don't have to kill the kid. But when your 17-year-old breaks the same vase, are you sick or something? You want to smack them in the face for being so irresponsible. And many times we want to ride the wave of the grace of God to the non-Christians, not knowing that we should know better. Does God heal the Christian? Yeah. It's the children's bread. When the Syrophoenician woman came and said, Lord, heal my sick daughter. And the Lord said, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent only to the house of... In that sense, I'm sent only to my church. I can't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And then she came and said, yet, but can the children eat the crumbs that are left over? Can I have some leftovers? You know what Jesus said? Man, you got more faith than the people in the church. Go home. Your daughter's healed. So healing is the children's bread. It's yours by right of the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ. By His stripes we are healed. But you can't rely on the grace that God uses to heal the non-saved. You just need to know His ways. Hallelujah. Amen. Now who opened the Red Sea? Moses. But does Moses do that any day? No. So who opened the Red Sea? God. See, God and Moses opened the Red Sea. Who killed Goliath? God and David. See, God needs David's sling as much as David needs the power and grace of God. And many people are waiting on God when God's waiting on you. We are 1,000, 2,000 years late. Today is the day of salvation. People said, well, I just got to get saved when God wants to. God wanted to save you before you were born. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Hello? Are you okay? So don't blame God for our own stupid faults. Hallelujah. The man that knows God's ways will have favor with God. Hallelujah. You say, well, God, how come you're so good to serve? Maybe the difference is he knows the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. Have a look at Zechariah 7. Are you awake? Good. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you found it? All right. That's good. So turn, hang a left and go to Zechariah 3. I just wanted to find out where you know where it is. And then verse 7. Zechariah 3 verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk, among these who stand here. I will give you places to walk. You will judge my house. You will take care of the courts of my house. I will open places to you to walk that I will not open to anyone. But what's the criteria? If you walk in my ways. You walk in my ways. Didn't say if you know my acts, if you walk in my ways. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths and lead me in your truth. Hallelujah. So, I want to talk on the ways of God. And the way God does things, it'll give you enlightenment so that you might know. Hallelujah. You know what Paul said? I know him in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. I know him. Glory to God. And we need to know his ways. You know what he said? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heaven are, as above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And then he said this. As the rain comes down and snow from heaven and does not return back. How many know it doesn't rain upwards, rain downwards? And when the rain comes down, it doesn't go back. Have you ever seen rain going up? No. He said, as that rain comes down and it'll cause the earth to bud and bring forth fruit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then he said, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Your mountains and your hills will sing to you. The mountains of your needs, the hills of your problems will sing. What's the connection between heaven and earth? Between his ways and our ways. The connection is the rain. The rain connects heaven and earth. And the rain is my word that goes out of my mouth. Where is he? He's in heaven. But my word that goes out of my mouth shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish my pleasure. And it will prosper where I send it. It will accomplish the pleasure of God. And will prosper where God sends his word. So the rain and the snow is the connection between his thoughts and our thoughts, between heaven and earth, and the word, the rain and the snow is his word. So that you have the mind of Christ. Now, hang on a minute. I just have my mind. Forget it. The Bible says you can have the mind of Christ. How do you do that? You know the Bible. You know his word. The Bible says, be not conformed to the... Now, many people conform. How? You think of your finances the same way the world thinks. You think of your problem the same way the world thinks. Everything that you do is according to the pattern of this world. How do you get transformed? By the renewing of your mind. How's the mind renewed? By the word of God. Casey Treat, many of you will know Casey. Who knows Casey Treat? Now, Casey has got a huge church in Seattle. He's got two campuses, multi-million-dollar campuses, but he's got two churches. Now, Casey came out, if he hears this message, he'll probably strangle me, but I'm bigger than him, so don't worry about it. But Casey came out of a drug addiction background, and he said, I constantly fell back into it. And the key was when his mind was renewed. Multiplied thousands got saved. Now, you are born again. There's nothing you can do. You're born again. Your spirit is born again, but your mind has to be renewed. And the renewing of your mind is not God's problem. The renewing of your mind is your responsibility. If you've got a car and you want to get to Wellington,
It's not my problem. You don't get there. It's your car. You drive the thing to Wellington. It's your Bible. You get it and you use it to renew your mind. And many people have great Bibles. They go look good, but they just sit there. They've been sitting there for years. If you only knew what's in it, you will read it. You will study it. And you'll meditate in it day and night. And thou mayest be like a tree that is planted by the... its fruit will not... its leaves will not wither, but its fruit come in season. Are you okay? Hallelujah. So how does God do things? Now, one of the ways God does it is so blatantly easy to get. See, this walking in God's way is a skill you can learn. Now, one of the ways God does things, and He does it every year, is God does things in seasons. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, you don't argue with God. If you know it's summer, it's summer. You don't say, God, no, it's summer. And when it's winter, it's winter. Now many people, when it's winter, it's winter. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is call. And I'll be there. You got a friend. Now you can take the words of that song and make it touch the altar so the words can speak to you. Because you've got a friend that is closer than a brother. You've got a friend that is awake when you are asleep. The God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. Many people can't sleep. You're not God. Only God can't sleep. Why can't He sleep? Because He's God, and He's watching over you. Many people don't sleep, and they can't sleep. They want to tell God, I've got so much problem, I can't sleep. And God said, why don't you go to sleep? I'll watch over you. It's no good you and I being awake together. I'm awake, you go to sleep. I can handle your stuff more than you can handle your stuff. So why don't you go to sleep? He gives His beloved sleep. And He gives His beloved in their sleep. You're looking for the answer of a problem. You go to sleep. You wake up in the morning. And you've got the answer in your head. God gives you the answer while you sleep. Now, God does not only give you sleep. He gives to you while you sleep. Why don't you go to sleep? Hallelujah. The Lord thy God in the midst of these mighty. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in the natural, we have no problems with the seasons. But in the spiritual, we have a lot of problems. You know why? Because in the spirit, God does not say, okay, this is your winter. He doesn't. You have to discern what season you're in. And if you discern wrong, guess what? You will act wrong. If you discern right, you will act right. Have you ever gone through a season in your life? It doesn't matter what you do, everything's hunky-dory. You know, you turn around, you tell, anything you touch just blooms. You want a loan, you go down the bank, got a loan. Then how do you have it? It doesn't matter what you do, it seems like favor is waiting at every door. And it doesn't matter what door you knock, it seems that the door's just boom. And it's like walking through the Red Sea. Everything, I don't know what, but every time you reach out, the sea opens up and it said, wow, what's the matter? Nothing's the matter. You know what it is? It's just summer. It's harvest time for you.
But then one time, it doesn't matter how much prayer you pray. You knock on the door. Then you knock on the door. Then you try and hammerhead the door. You try and bust the door with a. It doesn't even open. We say, what's going on? It's just winter, dear. And if you knew that, you wouldn't waste your prayers, waste your head, instead of trying to bust the head with your door, the door with your head. I like that. Bust the head with your door. Bust the door with your head. You know because you discern. What happens to the tree in the winter? Just stands. And sometimes when you've done what you've done, what do? Stand. Stand. Just stand. Just stand and wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? You're allowed to say amen in this Presbyterian church. Don't tell the Presbyterians I said that. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And you find these seasons in the scriptures. You find the winter, summer and spring and fall and hallelujah. And they are in the Bible. Now, in the flesh, we're very wise to behave in what season we're in. When it's winter, guess what? Put your coat on. Don't be like the young people. They want to show their muscles in winter. And then when they grow up, they wonder why they got liver disease and why they get prone with stuff that, because when they are young, they think they are macho. So they show their belly button in the middle of the winter. How dumb can you be and still breathe? Paul said to Timothy, come before winter, and when you come, bring my coat. Why, in winter time you put clothes on. In winter time you light fires. In winter time you turn the heater on. What do you light fires with? You light fires with wood. What is wood? Wood is stuff that once was green. Wood was stuff in your experience. You had an experience of something great, something that was alive. A green tree that was fruited when you were young. But now you cut the tree down. You chop the tree up. Cut it down, chop it up. What a strange language. It used to confuse me learning this language. I thought, you just chopped the blinking thing down. Now you're chopping it up. Oh, you chop it up, and what do you use with your past experience? You use your past experience in your winter time and use them to light the fire of your commitment, remembering the things God had done in the past, and you put them in the fire and you watch the fire and say, God, you were good to me. When I remember what you've done for me, I'll never turn back anymore. But you remember the green trees of the past now become brown trees that you put in the fire, and the fire is the experiences that you had with God in the past. And in your winter, you put your wood inside the fire and you get the warmth of that wood. Know that? Now, it doesn't take a genius to know that. We do that every year. You know what my granddaughter said just recently? They got a new pope. She said to her parents, Mom, Dad, is Papa still ahead of the church now they've got a new pope? I like that. And her mom said to say, tell her, oh, darling, it's a different church denomination altogether. Seasons. So in winter seasons, you live of the goodness of God in the past. You know, David said, well, and then I remember. He was angry, he was complaining, and then he said, and then I remembered how good you were to me when I was a shepherd boy. And even when David sinned, God had to remind me, when you were a shepherd boy, you're nobody, made you somebody. How come your heart is stirred now that you're somebody? Remember what you were. You know, when you're going to backslide, the devil will tell you all the good things about sin. Never tells you that when you were the pup, you came home and puked all over the bed. He'll just tell you the first beer you're going to drink, it's going to be nice. You've just been hammering and working, and the first beer is nice. Then the other beer, and then you get home, you're so drunk, you spew all over the bed and stink the house out. Hello? Are you okay? So there are winter season normally, and when you have winters normally, you put on clothes. Get warm. Light a fire. Remember the goodness of God. You know, Bible says Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, went down to the pit in the middle of the snow in the winter and killed his lion. When you understand God in the seasons you're in, it doesn't matter whether it's winter, summer, spring, or fall, you still slay your lions because you know the season you're in. Hallelujah. So you harvest in the summer, and then there's fall. It doesn't matter what you do, things fall down. You touch anything, you have a plan, you want to sing a song, the song is flat. You think everything's going to be hunky-dory, the worship team can't get it off the ground. You try and preach, and you think, God, get me out of here. I remember preaching at a meeting one time. It was a huge conference in Wellington. And there were two men that were speaking with me. I was just a rookie at the time. Didn't know very much, but I loved God. And I went to speak. And when I spoke, it was so hard. I didn't feel any anointing. It was just because I'm me that I just finished my message. And then when I finished my message, I thought, shall I make an altar call or not? And I thought, yeah! I got angry at me. Yeah, I'll make one. And I thought, well, yeah. So I just went through the formality and just make an altar call. The whole conference came to the altar. And I thought, did they go to another meeting or what? Now, I did not know what I know now. Now I can preach with an anointing, or I can preach without it. You say, how can you do that? We live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And many pastors who don't know how to live by faith, there's a lot of people who don't know how to live by faith. When there's no anointing, they can't minister. You minister by the anointing, and you minister by faith. Those that believe, he didn't say those that are anointed, those that believe shall lay hands on the sick. And you may lay hands on the sick, and you don't even feel that you're going to do anything. Like Bob, a cripple came in the Solomon Islands, and he came he can't even get up, the cripple. And Bob's quite tall. And Bob said, well, So Bob thought, Lord, I didn't want to look at the cripple because, so he just went through the formality. God, and as he prayed, he did not know that the cripple unwound himself, got up, the cripple looked around and saw his house over there, so the cripple walked home, and Bob still praying. And when Bob opened his eyes, he looked down, there's nobody, and the whole church laughed, and the cripple was halfway home, and Bob still praying. You minister by the anointing and you minister by faith. Hallelujah. And you minister by... You forgot it. You minister by the anointing, you minister by faith, or you minister by gifting.
Gifting. Gifting. If you are gifted in song, and you get up there and you have no anointing, and you have no faith, what do? Use your gifting. Sing a song. You just found out something about God's ways. How do you minister? By the anointing, by the faith, and by God's ways. God's ways. You walk into a meeting. If there's faith, minister by faith. You walk into a meeting. If there's an anointing, minister by the anointing. You walk into a meeting. There's nothing of those. Minister by your gifting. God has given you a gift. Use the gift. Man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men, great women, great people. Maoris are gifted with song. If you go to a place and you don't sense an anointing, what do? Sing. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted high above all God. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted high above all God. And I exalt thee. I exalt. I exalt thee, O Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. Now, when you sing a song that everybody knows, it brings everybody, their collective faith and anointing comes together. When the praise and worship is not going anywhere, sing a song that everybody knows. Hello? It's great to sing a new song. The Bible tells you to sing a new song. But if not everybody knows the new song, what do? Sing a song that you know. It unites people together and brings their faith together, their anointing together. Where there is unity, God will leave it alone. God will command a blessing. All right? Okay. Hallelujah. Are you all right? So God brings you into these seasons. However, in your own life, God doesn't do that in that He shows, well, this is winter time for you now. And you have to discern what season you're in. And when you know that, it's easy to cooperate with God because God is in control of the seasons. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Have a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season. You can't escape it. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. There is a purpose to the season.
Winter needs to come so that nature can rest. When your winter comes, you need to rest. Hallelujah. But if your winter comes and you don't know it, see, many of us want to live in a perpetual summer. Now, we've had summer. A good summer. A dry summer. And the land needs to drink. There, it's brown everywhere. Now it's called a drought. Did you know that summer, when it begins, is fantastic? But if summer is forever, guess what? You're going to live in poverty. You're going to live in a drought. I just drought. I had to learn this language. I've got an excuse. If you live in a perpetual summer, sooner or later, you will die. Why? Because summer forever is drought. You know what Elijah said to Ahab? There'll not be rain or dew. Now, that's an amazing. There's not going to be any rain or dew in Samaria until I say the word. That means Samaria is going to have a summer. It will be summer until I. From now on, I'm now going to control the season. All right? Because God controls the season. And He said, from now on, I'm going to control the seasons. And from now on, you're going to have summer until I say the word. And the summer lasted for how long? 3.5 years. What happened? Poverty. And when God turns up in summer, God, this is amazing. And when you come to church, you want it to be summer all the time. How many know if it's summer all the time, you probably would not come to church? Variety is the spice of life. You may enjoy summer for a season or for a few moments, but if it keeps on going, there was death in the air. And after 3.5 years, the guy went to prayer. And he said to his servant, go up the hill and have a look. We're going to change the season. Now, when the servant went up the hill, everybody was a weather specialist. What's it day tomorrow? Sun. What was it day today? Sun. Next week? Sun. We got to that sun. Everybody could, the meteorological office is closed. Everybody can know the weather. The servant came up, went up 7 times. He said, "Did you see anything?" "Yeah, I saw a little cloud way out in the distance." "But don't put your hopes up." You know what he said? "Go tell the king. Get in his chariot and get out of here. It's going to rain." I like that. Going to rain. Season is changing. It's coming. Rain is coming. Started this morning. Let it rain. Hallelujah. Are you okay? I still haven't made the point. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a time in everything. There is a season and a purpose for everything under the sun. There is a purpose for your season. And when you know why it's there, it will equip you to be able to minister to others. Hallelujah. Now, when you are in summer, it's beautiful. The only problem is in belonging to a church or belonging to a community, people go through different seasons at the same time. And if you're going through winter, you don't want to meet anybody who's going through their summer. Because if you talk to them, you just want to rearrange their face. Because it doesn't matter what you say, they've got an answer for it.
Praise the Lord, man. What's wrong with you? God is alive. Bless God forevermore. And you want to pray, God, can you put him in a winter, please? Why? Because when you know and you've been through, how do you comfort those who are mourning? Because you've mourned yourself. And it's shocking when you try to be comforted by somebody that has never mourned. You're like Job's friends. They have answers everywhere, but they can't comfort you. And sometimes we need to kill Job's friends because they have no understanding of what they're saying. What they're saying is intellectually correct, but experientially stupid. You know what Paul said? The only reason I'm able to comfort you is because in my pain, God comforted me. Pain is a great teacher. And when you're comforted through pain, it is out of your pain, out of your ashes, that others find beauty. Out of your mourning, that others find the oil of joy. Out of your heaviness, others find praise. God gives me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when you're going through mourning, it's great to find somebody who has mourned themselves. Why? Because what they bring is oil. Hallelujah. You know, success and ongoing success can be a real deception. You say, Pastor, success that is ongoing and everywhere creates professional Christians who have cliches but no life. But when you've been through difficulties and you're wounded divinely by God, when you cross your jabbok and you're limping like Jacob, the sun will rise over your face. You will still limp, but your sun will rise. And when you minister life. Hallelujah. Why does Pastor Luca minister well in depression? Because he was depressed. Most of the healing evangelists that you see in the planet were once sick. They discovered the rod and the staff in the valley of the shadow of death. And that rod and staff give them comfort to comfort others. Thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff comforts me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. I dwell in your house forever. Why? Because in your valley, he restores my soul. Are you all right? He may take me through the valley. Even though I am his child, and the paths he shows me may be rough and rugged for a while, but he speaks the word and lights the way. Hallelujah. I'll never be the same. No, never be the same again. I'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. Never be the same again. From the moment I met Jesus, new life for me began. And I'll never be the same again.
I've got an old auntie who passed away, lived in San Francisco. And we'll take her for a drive and then she'll say, son, can you sing us a song? I'll sing a song. Now, she's old. She said, why don't you sing a song that all of us know? Why is it that you sing songs that were there when Noah built the ark? Now, I'll sing a Samoan song. She's Samoan. You noticed I'm Samoan? But even the songs that I sing to her in Samoan, she doesn't even know. He said, it's so far back. I said, well, that's the songs I know. You want me to sing a song? I'll sing that one. Well, sing us a song that we know. So I'll sing her a song that's more modern, so we all sing in the car. Some songs I know, you don't know. I sing some hymns one time, can't tell the church to sing the hymn. They didn't even know. I said, where did you go to church? Hallelujah. Are you okay? So you're able to minister because in your seasons, God ministered to you. Hallelujah. Amen? Well, it looks like my time's up. But I still haven't made the point. When Elijah and Elisha went through four places, God said to me, those are four seasons. I said, explain that to me. They went from Gilgal to Bethel. From Bethel to Jericho. From Jericho to the Jordan. And through the Jordan to the wilderness. They started in the city and end up in the forest. Have you ever started in the city and end up in the forest? Some of you started in Auckland and you think Whanganui is a forest. And Gilgal is a place of pain. Place of blood. There's a season of pain. And pain will minister to you, as we said before. Pain will minister to you to be able to minister to others with pain. Then they went from Gilgal to Bethel. Bethel is a season of revelation. When God speaks, show me your ways. God will open the darkness to you. There are treasures in your darkness. And God will open the dark places of your life to you and make those places where people can dwell and eat. Your valleys become paddocks where hope is found. So you come to a place of revelation. And then you come to a place of miracle. Doesn't matter what happens. Jericho is a place of miraculous intervention. But it's a season of miracle. You've got a season of pain, a season of revelation, a season of miracles. Then there's a death season. You go through the Jordan. You die. Things don't seem to be all right. But something happens in the Jordan. The Jordan opens. And it opens miraculously. Hallelujah. You find yourself in the wilderness and God asks you a question. What do you want? What do you want? Give you an open check. What do you want? The boy said, I want your anointing in double. I want what you've got. And the old guy said, if you see me, you'll get it. If you see me, you'll get it. Trouble is, we never see it. Amen. But there are four seasons going through into a season of death, into the wilderness, and then turning back and beginning a ministry that began with death and resurrection. Open a river miraculously.
see the goodness of God. Are you all right? Well, I'll make the point when I get back from the Philippines. Is that all right? I wanted to make a point for the sermon, but I think you got a lot of... But I'll make the point when I get back. All right? God bless you. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you tonight at 6:30.